That takes us to the first of two notices of motion. The first is a notice of motion from Lucas Cleveland regarding the 26th Mayor's Downtown Banking Tour. This is simply a motion, receive the report. Is there anyone who'd like to move it? Sorry, yeah, you're going, by all means, Councilor.
Yeah, I would like to call a conflict on this. I've been consistent all term with anything to do with the downtown and the banks or the downtown. And so I'm leaving it at that.
Noted, thank you, Councilor Bureau. While Mr. Bureau leaves, if there's no one willing to move it, I'm happy to put it on the floor. So moved by Councilor Darling. Is there a seconder to put it on the floor? Sorry, is that your hand, Councilor, or no? So it's on the floor. Recommendations are pretty straightforward. I had a lot of, first of all, huge thank you to all of the staff, both Mr. Larmer, Mr. Wally, as well as every single banking manager in this town who made time for us. I attended some of these sort of meetings with Mr. Larmer when his job took him to other things. Mrs. Uwali joined me. It was an informative set of meetings. I learned a lot, and I really appreciate both the staff support as well as the support of our financial institutions. Hearing firsthand what some of their concerns are were definitely eye-opening. It's been a while since I've run a business on the downtown core, so it was a good chance to check in, and I just thank you to this council for letting me bring this forward. By all means, Councillor Mouton, then Deputy Mayor, and then going over to Mr. Darling.
Yes, I think it was great, excellent idea to canvass. I've spoken informally with a few of the representatives in the banks. And it's one-stop shopping. You park once, and then you can do your banking at multiple institutions. What I wanted to follow up on, a little bit concerned about, it sounded that Heritage took a hit because Heritage has preempted putting ATMs on the sidewalk. However, I did a little research, and ATMs, even if they're outside, are not always 24/7. And as someone who finds the banking hours downtown very convenient, and I have business at several institutions, and it's a staff very helpful, I am curious what the comparables are, because many, as I walk downtown, I noticed, well, there's safe, there's drop-off boxes if you have sort of after-hours items that you need to drop in. I'm a little confused as to why someone would be at an ATM in the middle of the night with their back to the street in downtown. Like, I'm not sure where this is going to go in. Maybe perhaps the mayor could address this. But I will share this little anecdote with you. In one of the banks during a festival downtown last year, the bank was in a bit of a kerfuffle because they ran out of cash. And what I was told by a frontline person was, oh, we didn't know this event was happening. So they had not prepared, and there was a lot of cash sales, and they literally ran out of cash. So I don't know if you heard that story, Mr. Mayor. And again, thank you so much for taking the initiative to speak to them. I think they're very, very important in our downtown core. But I have a feeling that things could work out. I mean, if they didn't have a vestibule, you still have a covered access to an ATM. And I really don't think anybody's going to leave an ATM available for 24/7.
So, mea culpa, I made a withdrawal on that day.
No, of course. So, Councilor Mouton, I'll just sort of address it. I don't see any of your questions as like inappropriate, or they're all germane. I'll be very clear. The report was simply reporting on what I heard. Mm-hmm. It didn't take any facts or that. So, one of the reasons is originally I was going to move a motion that made recommendations. It was actually, I may have been a little bit ahead. I didn't necessarily know if what the banks were telling me were true, which is why I put the report together, and the recommendation is for report back to staff. So, we can hear from staff if what I heard was fact, if there are areas that need to be improved, if there's not, if we're already aligned. There was never a hit to Heritage. However, what I did hear anecdotally, as you've suggested, is from two or three of the banks that in the previous years they had tried to get a permit to put a street-facing ATMs so you can access it at 24 hours a day, and that their complaint was that it was Heritage and the process that basically prevented that. Whether that's true or not, we always know that the story you hear from developers and the staff are never always aligned. There's always a sort of a broken telephone, and this report was simply an initiative that I want to take because I wanted, to your point, a better relationship. After doing the manufacturing tour, I found that the ability to communicate with our major employers has been greatly enhanced, as has their willingness to come to town. That was sort of the intention here, is to ensure that we do have a better alignment between our banks and the downtown core and the town of Cobourg. We wanted that relationship. A lot of these opportunities, even when Mr. Larmer was in the meetings, hearing firsthand from the residents downtown what bylaw can do. No, it's not necessarily that we're going to do it, but again, more ideas, more information is a good idea. And I think most importantly, I'm going to address one of your concerns that you said, well, I don't know. I don't know who goes banking at 2 in the morning either. But what I will say is that the number of emails over the last year that I've received from residents complaining about their inability to go banking, now usually it's attached to some sort of position around mental health, addiction, homelessness. However, the fact that I wanted to focus on is that there are a number of complaints about people being unwilling to go to banks. And when I went to the meetings and I met the bank managers, what I heard is that within the banking, they are slowly shrinking their footprints in small communities. And one of the major sources of revenue with high return are those transactions when there is no banking staff present because it's straight money. And so if they have to make a decision between a community branch that has a 24 access ATM and a competing community branch that doesn't, the bank will always choose the bank that has the 24 hour access because of the revenue potential for that branch. And so that's why, that was new to me, something I hadn't heard before either, but what I had heard from bank managers is when you, and a lot of the bank managers work both the Port Hope branch and the Cobourg branch. And what's really interesting is hearing some of their comparisons about what they're dealing with in Cobourg versus what they're dealing with in Port Hope. And so from my perspective and my learning, this is where I brought this forward, because the branches in Port Hope aren't having the same issues maintaining vestibules. They're not having the same issues having access. And so the branch managers are spending a disproportionate amount of their time dealing with issues in Cobourg. Now, right now, that's not a problem. But my concern is that if we don't address them now, and these decisions move forward, that it's been shown time and time again, as soon as you start losing a banking institution in the downtown core, it is the number one indication that your downtown core will not survive. And so when I learned that, that's kind of why I initiated this, because I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a really key indicator, and we got to make sure our banking partners are happy. That's where it came from, and that's where it sort of originated. Now, I believe I actually went to the deputy mayor next.
Thank you, Mayor Cleveland. I have a few questions depending on how the conversations go, but my one is just, again, I always look at the motion, the action recommended, and then the content of the report. So the motion on the floor just talks about to receive for information purposes and to direct staff on next steps. In the attachment to your notice of motion, there are four, like there's several recommendations. So I guess I'm just trying to get a sense either from you as the author of the report, is there, or the movers of the motion, have you given thought as to what recommendations are we looking to either prioritize or to include? Because the motion on the floor does say we need to give staff direction on next steps. So what are those next steps that we are pulling from the report? Or is it all four items as presented in the attachment?
I'll start, and I'm happy to pass on to the mover and seconder. From my perspective, I would assume staff would look at those recommendations and let us know if any of them need to be followed up on based on their professional opinion. I'm not a professional bylaw planner, director, so I simply provided what the answers that were given to me sort of led to next steps. But I'm not the operator. I sit on a policy side. And so at this point, that's my recommendation would be simply that staff let us know of these recommendations, to use your word, which of them are germane to actually be implemented. We've dealt with the parking. This report was worked on and done before we had passed all the parking amendments. So obviously that recommendation doesn't need to be addressed because this council's addressed it. The other three, you know, if Mr. Challenger comes back and says, no, there's no need to address, there is no heritage concerns, then I guess that's, and that we know for a fact so that we can put that out to the banks that there are no heritage concerns. Again, this is, I leave this to the professionals on this one. I wanted to do the outreach, I wanted to do the research, I wanted to present what I found. It's up to this council and the staff what that looks like, and I'm not either way on any of it. If we simply receive for information, then so be it. Thank you. I'm going to go over to Mr. Darling, and then I'm going to go back to Councilor Tong.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for initiating this. This, is to me, was outside the box thinking. And the more I read it and the more I digested it, the more it resonated with the fact that, yes, I did realize that banks were one of the most important anchors in our community. And I know there may be heritage aspects with the banking machines, but as things change and evolve and circumstances change, which we never had before with the vestibules, I know personally I've head out in the road at 4 a.m. to go to the city or to go on a trip and then go say, I forgot to go to the bank because you want some cash to travel with. Things like that. I've used the banking machine at 4 o'clock. When I have people say to me, you know, I work a 12-hour shift. I get off at 8 o'clock at night and I want to go out for dinner or I want to go to the bar and have a few drinks and I want to go to the bank and I can't. So one of my plans was to ask Heritage to sit down and discuss our Heritage as a member of the committee. Should we look at this and how detrimental is it to our heritage? You look at all the different things that are on the main street and I'll catch your eye. Is a banking machine sitting there detrimental to the heritage of our downtown? Yet to be determined. But I really do appreciate the fact that you took the initiative and you're stimulating conversation regarding our downtown and maybe there are things we can do to improve it. So that's why I supported the motion. Thank you.
So I think part of this is that perhaps what has been done has been sort of a preliminary investigation because I actually get, because of my frequency in going in person in bank and then speaking with staff, I get a slightly different story. It's interesting that, you know, some of the managers or the staff have indicated, well, it's more profitable to have ATMs rather than in person, if I understood you correctly. No, to have staff?
No, I would say the margins. So transactions have a margin. So some transactions cost the bank more to do, therefore their profit margin of that transaction is lower. Whereas every single fee that's generated after hours through an ATM has a zero overhead because no staff are being operated during those hours. So that's the difference, is that you need to have staff for the rest of the hours, therefore those transactions go towards paying the staff to run the bank. Whereas an ATM generates profits after hours when there are no staff, therefore the overhead and operating costs are much lower. It's not that they're more profitable, it's that it adds an additional source of revenue when the traditional banking hours are closed.
So thank you for that clarification. I think most of us are able to do banking at home. I know the cash situation, not possible at home. And as I'd mentioned, there are drop-off boxes, lids, already out front. Are they locked?
Sorry, the comment was from Councillor Darling that they are locked, he believes, just so that we'd have the microphone.
Yeah. So, and I just wanted to share that one of my main places I go, there's 5 tellers. And I was surprised, pleasantly surprised. They're often all staffed. So, you know, walking in, sometimes the lineup is like, it's interesting how people like to, you get things more efficient in person. I mean, and I know everyone has a different format. I just would hate to kind of hold Heritage up as the holdup. I don't think it is. What I was getting at, Mr. Mayor, with the vestibule, if their main doors are, they have two sets of doors now, right? So they can lock the doors to the vestibule. But if they remove, if they have the main doors on the inside, those outside vestibule doors don't have to be there. So you have exterior ATMs that have a little bit of protection. I would like to mention that in the winter, the buildings downtown often have icicles. And if you're standing at an ATM, you're often right in line with the icicles. So there's a bunch of other factors involved here, and I think a robust conversation at the Heritage Committee is warranted.
Thank you, Councilor Mouton. Happy to hear that. And what I'll say just very clearly is perhaps we're missing the elephant in the room. The reason removing the outer doors, having it covered, is the actual reason they're locking their vestibules. So the report doesn't go into details, but what I've heard is the reason they began locking their vestibules is because it was no longer a safe working condition for their employees. Many, many mornings they were showing up to find feces, syringes, unconscious bodies inside their vestibules. And a lot of the people opening these are coming to work at 6:30 in the morning, and they're single females, younger employees. And so while I understand the idea, they've even looked at that, that doesn't solve the bank's concern, which is when there is a space with cover, individuals use that to consume narcotics, to sleep in, and, which prevents a multitude of insurance risks as well as staff risks. And so that's why they've had to make the decision to close the vestibules. To your point, no one is saying that Heritage is to blame. What we're saying, and what the report said very clearly, is that perhaps there's things that are in the Heritage bylaws that could be amended to allow an ATM on the outside facing wall. That's no one is suggesting, and again, to this point, I don't even know if it's Heritage that is preventing that or not, which is why I'm looking forward to hearing what staff have to say about that. And on the final note, I just want to address the one comment about the managers who have branches both in Coburg and Port Hope. What was interesting is talking to some of the managers who are the managers to both, is that they're currently tracking, and this is what really brought it to light, they're currently tracking how many customers from Coburg are now using only Port Hope services. And what I found incredible is that they're seeing a significant shift. That's why I'm glad to see our parking rules being changed, because that was one of the things the bank managers said was driving customers out of the downtown of Coburg into the Port Hope downtown. But this is personal, like this is information that's the banks and the banks alone, but they're showing that many, many clients who have been longtime Coburg banking people are now driving to Port Hope during the day to do banking there because of their concerns of past experiences with locked vestibules. And so instead of worrying about going downtown and parking, and people from Coburg are just driving to Port Hope and using their services. That's the real concerning thing for me, because when banks start to see that, they start going, well, why do we need two branches then? And that's what I'm trying to get ahead of, and I would appreciate this. That's sort of the culmination of where my concern came from is that. Yeah, are there any other concerns? Now, I see on the motion on the floor, it says directions to staff. Staff, we've had a pretty thorough discussion. I don't think we're looking for any action at this time other than potential recommendations coming down in the future. I don't think the timeline on this. Does staff, to the CAO or to Mr. Lerner, does staff need very specific instructions, or would it be something to the effect of further staff, that council provide, also council direct staff to report on any recommendations that may be germane to this report? I'm open for ideas at this point. This isn't a hill I'm looking to die on, and I'm just looking for some guidance here, either from members of council or from staff, as to how to address the part of it that says further that. Because at this point, I would be okay with just simply receiving it for information. Okay, Mr. Larmer, do we need a motion to remove a section? Well. Yes. Well, it's actually the first part. For information purposes, period. Just remove the second.
Yeah, just remove that last, further that.
I would have to ask the mover and seconder. Mr. Darling, Mr. Barber, would you agree to removing the second further that? Noted. So just to give you a second, so this is simply receiving for information. We've had the conversation, the knowledge is out there, and if staff feel or the Heritage Committee feel recommendations, I look forward to hearing them in the future. Good conversation, Council. I'm going to move to a vote. All in favor? So moved. Can we let Mr. Bureau know he's welcome back in the room?